So this message actually, I would be giving this across the country. In fact, I went to Bryan, Ohio last week and met with them, and they had some issues in terms of their community and things, but also it has to do with everything that's going on in the country in terms of our pandemic, and I talked to them. So this message is actually for everybody, that's all the communities out there across the country. But here's the personal thing. This has nothing to do with the message. Last week, I get on YouTube occasionally. I like to watch some of the dance videos, and I also watch some TED Talks that are on there and other things that come up on there. And when I go on YouTube, you can just scroll down. They have all kinds of things that they show that you might be interested in this. Well, right on top, the second one there was one of my Bible studies from 5 years ago from the study in Amos. Now, I don't know if any of you were there, but it's Amos number 5, and it's called The Point of No Return. I suggest you watch it. It's very prophetic. I didn't realize at the time, but that was 5 years ago in 2015. It's Amos number 5, The Point of No Return. I was wondering if there was any word from the Lord, and that guy was pretty good. Okay, I want to talk to you tonight. This is actually a message for just about every community out there. So will you join with me again in the prayer to the Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we might be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. There's scripture that goes with this message tonight, but I will weave it in here. I know this. Having been in ministry and lived a long time, there are bad seasons in life. We all have them at times. Winter is coming. In fact, winter is already here, and I'm not talking about the weather. And in winter, it is very difficult sometimes to tell what is living and what is dead. And when you look at the trees, you can't tell whether they are alive or dead, not until the spring comes. So it's not just true of trees, though. It's true of people. The world tells us a lot of lies about what matters. And I want to talk to you about what matters tonight. I want you to know this truth. We've heard a lot about the stuff that's going on. We've heard it from everybody. Everybody's got an opinion about everything in the world. But here's what I believe. We are experiencing an extinction level event. Businesses, churches, even communities, events like the Decatur Celebration are dying. Theaters, I'm surprised that the Strand is still open over here, because even before COVID, I would take Berta to that movie theater and we would have a private showing on occasion. I don't know how they stay open, but things are dying around us, and that includes churches. All kinds of things. We are collectively in a bad season. And the world tells us a lot of lies about what really matters. One of the things that they've always told us is that your career or success or what you do is fulfilling in life. And you do that and you'll be okay, and it's the most important thing. And if you become self-sufficient because of what you've done with your life, then you're going to be okay. But the problem with that is down the line, emptiness can happen. Loneliness could happen. And on your deathbed, what really matters? I've never heard anyone on their deathbed say that I wish I'd spent more time at the office. But it's a lie that our world tells us. A second lie is this: I can make myself happy. If I do what I want, and whatever you accomplish in terms of your life, if you do that and you do those kinds of things, you can make yourself happy. I've done a lot of work with people. I've lived my own life as well. And what I know is, once again, on your deathbed, what really matters? The third thing is, and this is the most recent of our crisis that is happening right now, it's all about staying healthy, staying safe. I guess until you die. And once again, on your deathbed, what really matters? You know, on your deathbed, health care is not the issue, even though the world tells us that's the issue. And I'm just telling you the truth up here, and I've been called for telling the truth before, So tonight, let's just talk about us. You know what the fastest growing political group in the country is? Independents. You know what the fastest growing religious group in the country is? Unaffiliated. We have 45,000 suicides each year. Mental health issues are epidemic. In the United States, I didn't find all of this, I could only find 2017. In 2017, there were 875,000, give or take a few, abortions in the United States. A few more than COVID have died. There were 42,000 just in the state of Illinois. We have economic crisis because of COVID, supposedly. We have political crisis, and we've been through that, and it's been screaming at us from the TVs for months now. We have faith-based crises now because churches are literally being shut down across this country. They are dying. It's an extinction level event. We have our health crisis. Of course, COVID is the one that's thrown. But you know what? It's not just COVID. I couldn't get in to see a doctor when I was supposed to for an extra 5 to 6 months. You can die in those 5 and 6 months. We have a health crisis in this country. We have relationship crisis in this country, and because we have been locked down. And I'm here to tell you, that has caused a relationship issue in our country and in our world. It's not just our country. We are living and dying in the valley of disconnection. Now, the lie is that the internet and all its connecting, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Snap and Google and YouTube, et cetera, is connecting us. But that's a lie. As Microsoft keeps telling us, that's the window on our world. But the truth is, we are fragmented. We are disconnected. We are in the valley of disconnection. And that's a fact. That's just not my opinion. Now, you people probably feel it when you came in here. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, there's real people here. There's real people I can talk to. And you are experiencing the fragmentation and disconnection of our society and all this going on because of the COVID crisis is the one that's pulling us that way right now. But we are disconnected. And because of that, and if you have the blood of Jesus on the lintel of your door, some of this plague may be passing over you. But there are a lot of people out there who do not have the blood of the Lamb on their doors. And the plague is real, and they are literally disconnected, fragmented, and totally disconnected from the world around them, and they are empty and lonely because of it. And the unrooted person in our society is adrift, unremembered, and not committed to anyone or anything. And broken people are all over the place. And they are angry, and they are resentful, and they are smaller. And here's the big one. They're full of pain. Have you noticed how angry this country is? It's full of pain. And pain that is not transformed gets transmitted. So I want to talk about us. And by the way, the definition for a patient, that's like a hospital patient, is one who suffers. That's the definition. One who suffers. And in our society today, that would be most of us. So I stand here in the valley of our disconnection, just like Ezekiel, and I wonder, can these bones that are disconnected live at all? Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and I brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." We are the patient, the one who suffers. Now, what happens when you suffer? And we are experiencing this, by the way, so I just want you to understand. What happens to us or to someone who suffers? The first thing is this. It is an interruption of your life. Have we got an interruption going on? And you find out that you're not the person that you thought you were. Anybody finding out a little bit more about themselves through all this? Because of this interruption that we have experienced together, we can find out that, well, you know, I'm not who I thought I was. The second thing that happens when you suffer, and that would make you the patient, is that your soul literally cries out for righteousness and life. Talk to anybody who has experienced illness over a long period of time. What do they want? They want to be full of life again. They want to be right, righteousness. And the third thing is that the problem of suffering has to be addressed differently from the way you have lived before. And we are just now learning that truth, that we have to live differently than we did before. And the fourth thing that you learn when you are the patient, the one who suffers, and you're in that valley of disconnection, somebody has to help you out of it because you can't do it yourself. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Fourth thing that we learn is we need help to get out of the valley of disconnection. Here's the help you need. I don't want to be like Lucy to Charlie Brown when Lucy pointed out all the problems that Charlie Brown experienced and all the things that were wrong with him. And he said, well, what can I do? And she said, well, I'm not here to fix those things. I'm just to point them out to you. Well, I don't want to be like Lucy. I don't want to just point them out to you. Because the truth is, they're there, but that doesn't get you out. First thing we need to do is love one another. Now, how do you do that? Well, you do that with relationships with people. And the fact of the matter is, it is very difficult to do that on YouTube or Twitter or any place else because you're not actually with people. Love one another. You need to build relationships. You know, when a mother gives birth to her child, and if that mother has the love that for that child, we know something right then. Those of you who are mothers know this truth. We love our children more than evolution requires. Think about it. Think about it. We love our children more than evolution requires. You know, and one of the things that in loving one another, as we are called to by God to do, and one of the things that we do in the great banquet is we love one another, is we love them more than evolution requires, don't we? So love one another. Build community. Because we need to build community. One of the things that has happened because of COVID is that community has been fragmented, disconnected, and it has especially happened through churches because one of the things that is very important about church, whether you like it or not, is that we love one another in spite of who they are. Really? We love one another, so we're always trying to build community in churches. Well, that has been destroyed because of this. But in building community, we love one another more than evolution requires. Our mindset is now disconnected. Social distancing. God, we hear it all the time, don't we? Social distancing. We need to hide our faces. There are some of you that came in and I don't know, who was that? Who is that masked man? And I wanted to check the seats, see if there's silver bullets laying in there. Some of you are old enough to know that reference. But social distancing, hiding our faces, and solitary confinement. You know that one of the things that has happened because of the lockdown, do you know, if you've ever been to prison, I did 20 weekends down at Vienna, Illinois. And one of the things, when we first got into that prison, they allowed the team to stay at the prison until the overcrowding of the prison took place. But where they put us is they put the Great Banquet team in the segregation unit of the prison. They called it SEG. And those prisoners were awed. That would be the term. They were awed by the fact that we actually not only came into the prison, but that we stayed in the SEG unit. Because the SEG unit is one of confinement. You know, you see movies like Cool Hand Luke or other, a lot of these, and they get thrown in a cooler. If they've done something wrong, they get put in a box someplace, and that's how they do it. You know, Shawshank Redemption, that one's in it, got it too. And the real punishment is they get segregated from the rest of their community. And it's punishment. What we are experiencing is SEG in many ways. We don't get to have contact with others. We can do it through Zoom. We can do it through some of the other things in terms of messaging them, but you're not actually with them, and so you're in confinement in your place. And this is what has happened to us. We live in a national valley. Actually, it's worldwide, this valley, in general, that is disconnected and fragmented like the Valley of the Dry Bones. And not only do we have it in general around the world and in the United States, but we also have it, we have our personal valleys of disconnection. And winter is coming. We need a cultural and relational change. You can't build trust from a distance. Now, specifically for us, you can't save the world, I know that. But we can deal with our little pieces of it. Okay? We can't solve the national problem. We can't solve the worldwide problems, but we can help specifically in our own particular worlds. The Great Banquet speaks the language of a recovered people. It is to love one another, to love God more than evolution requires. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Great Banquet is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we can do that. We can't change the world, but we can change our personal worlds ourselves. And there are people around us, all around us, in our individual worlds. So thus speaks the prophet. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. And breathe upon these slain that they may live. What we need is the Holy Spirit. We need the breath of God constantly. The great banquet is the breath of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why when spring arrives, we will have new life if we keep the faith. That's why we will have new life if we keep the faith. In the meantime, though, this is where we're living. In the winter. And winter is definitely coming. And if you know anything about trees or anything, when winter comes, life goes down deep because the environment is not such that you can actually produce. Well, we're in the winter of the times that we live in. And so the life needs to go down deep, but it needs to go down deep and be there. So here's what I say to you folks. If you're not in a reunion group, and we're going to have a place right outside, if you're not in a reunion group, get in one where you're actually in connection with three or four or five other people on a regular basis, and don't do it by the phone. I'm sorry, but I have to go against the governor in this a little bit, but there's not 25 of you, right? So we're all right. But get together with people. That's what you're doing is you're taking care of the life that goes down deep at this time. The second thing that you can do, build relationships with friends and others. Now, I say that not just with friends, but with other people too. Now, you have to work at this because our society is now in a form of lockdown that does not allow us to do it. We're in the cooler, you might say, and it does not allow us to do it very easily. But build relationships with your friends. Maintain those relationships with your friends and others wherever you can. Sometimes being safe needs to be set aside, and we need to share the risk. Now, let me say it again. Sometimes being safe needs to be set aside, and we need to share the risk in order to maintain and build relationships. You see, one of the things that I know is if you walk into a store or you're in a group someplace or you know, wherever you are, and you don't know anybody, and you walk into that group, and some of them have masks on and some of them don't have masks on, but what you're thinking is this: which one of them is a leper? And the fact of the matter is, maybe we should all carry the little bells and say, just so you know, don't get close to me because I'm a leper. You might get it from me. I'm a leper. See, that's one of the things that we have to deal with in our life because healthcare is really about disease. It's not so much about people in our society. And I learned this, that, you know, if you think about the healthcare system and everything, it's really about disease. It's really defined by disease. It's not defined by people. So share the risk a little. Maintain contact with people. Speak to them. That requires work and effort. But hear me, Christian, we're supposed to make the efforts. Third thing that you need to do, and I know most of you, but I don't know what, is make sure that you are connected to a church. And if they have open worship, be there. The reason is, we are in the winter, and the life goes down deep at this time. But because of the weather, some trees die. And there are a lot of churches that are literally dying out there because this is an extinction level event. So worship. Worship with people. When you look at it on TV, you are not connected. I'm sorry, but you're not connected. I mean, I've been preaching that a lot of years before even COVID. And you can turn into Joel Osteen and watch all those people there, but you're not there, and you're not connected. Fourth thing is this. You can do these things now. You're an individual. You can do this stuff. Reunion groups, build relationships with friends and others, worship, and pay attention to the people in your life. Pay attention to the people in your life. They're the shiny people. Because they're the ones that, you can see them. You know, the other people out there, you don't really see them. So pay attention to the shiny people in your life. You know, those are people like family and things like that. Pay attention. Fifth thing is just be intentional to your life. Pay attention to your life in God. You know, I cannot build your faith. Only you can do that. So pay attention and be intentional to your life in God. Do not forget your Father's face. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. You can do some things. You can help build things and maintain things that are in jeopardy in this world right now. A lot of them have to do with your relationship with other people. Some of them have to do with your worship community, wherever that is, whatever church that is. But you need to be one of the faithful ones who pays attention, because who knows what will happen when spring comes? Who will be still alive when that happens? So we're in the winter right now. What are you going to do in the meantime? And this is a message for the country. This is a message for all the banquet movements. You just happen to get the personal one. So God bless you.